Hey, this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. Today, my friend and our former youth pastor, Jason Turner, is bringing a special standalone message called Receive. It's asking the question, is it really possible to believe unless you receive? Are those two things separate, or do they really work together? I'd encourage you to listen as Jason brings this really important message for us today. Hey, just a quick heads up. At the beginning of his message, Jason shows a video of people walking past a tree in a downtown area that is filled with dollar bills in the leaves. They walk past this tree and don't even see that it's covered in dollar bills. So obviously we can't show that video on an audio podcast, but you get the idea. Jason will talk about it in this message.
Hey, welcome again, guys. I'm so excited that you're here today. I'm so excited to be here. Today, I want to just bring in the next gift of getting together and talking about God, okay? So when I ask a question, it's not rhetorical. I want you to answer back. All right, everybody good with that? All right, so check out this video. I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions based on this video, okay? So, wow, you know, the number one most common response is that people walk by without noticing. Why do you guys think that is? Okay, busy, yeah. We're distracted, good, yeah. I think a lot of times we get in this mindset, we get in the habit of busyness that we just kind of walk through life with blinders on. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like that before. The rest of you are lying because we all have felt that way before. Sorry to call you out like that, but I know, and it's tough. It's really, really, really tough not to. But as a further illustration for this, I need three volunteers to come up on stage to receive a gift. I need three people. Three people. I'm not going to call you. You just have to come up on stage. Two of them can't be my kids, okay? All right. Well, you stand on this side. Grace, how are you?
I feel outnumbered.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Just if you can stand on this side, that'd be great. All right. Trust me, I did not put them up to this. But Seth, I want to... Wow, this is going to be weird. You're taking us out to lunch today. Okay, so here you go, Seth. This is for you. I need you to read what it says on the paper and then do it. Can you read it out loud?
Sing, I'm sitting in a little teapot.
No, it's... Oh. I know my handwriting's not that good, but it's not that bad. Okay.
Sing, I'm a little teapot, and the money was...
Is yours. All right, go for it. Wait, whoa. No, you got to do short and stout. Here is my handle. Here is my spout. Come on, sing it with me, guys, so I don't feel so stupid. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out. All right, you can go. Good job. Everybody give him a hand. All right. And out. All right, we'll give this one to you. All right, no problem.
Tell us who won the Georgia versus Florida football game.
Yeah!
And the money is yours.
It's just a fact.
I'm a Tech fan.
I'm sorry. That's okay, baby.
This hurts.
I'm sorry. But Georgia won. There you go. Thank you, my friend. All right, so this is my daughter, Grace. And Grace can't quite read yet. So this is going to really ruin this illustration too, but that's okay. This paper says, take this paper off and put the money in your pocket. There you go. You take that back to your seat. Good job, honey. Okay, so other than... I'm going to pretend like I didn't see that. Other than being the most adorable of the three on the stage, what was the difference between the first two gifts and the third one? Okay, whoa. I can only hear one person at a time. Sorry. Grace didn't have to do anything, and it's not just because she's adorable and she's my daughter. It was kind of an illustration about receiving gifts. Any of you guys picked up on the fact that connected to the $5 bill that each person got was a string? Have you guys ever heard of the phrase before, getting a gift with a string attached? All right, raise your hand in here if you've ever received a gift before, but there were strings attached to it. Of course, I think we've all kind of been in that situation. One of the things that is so beautiful about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ is that when we receive his gift of salvation, there is absolutely no strings attached to it. And I want us to look at that today. I want us to start in the book of John. And we'll look at John chapter 1. And as we read through these verses, I want us to see Jesus Christ displayed fully. Now, here's your assignment for these verses. I want you guys, as we're looking through, to pick up on how Jesus is described in these verses. All right, you guys ready? When you're there, say I'm there. Yeah, because it's right in front of you on your word sheet, and it's going to be on the screen too. All right. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everyone that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Now, everyone in his original audience, when they first read this, this really harkens back to the creation narrative that we see in Jesus, this beautiful song, poem that John is writing us here. And they would have immediately made that connection. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who came is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world that he created. Think about the weight of this. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, but even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted or received him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human or became flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have received one gracious blessing after another." One gracious blessing after another. I know that was a long passage. Buddy, catch your breath. I want to hear from you guys. What are some words that you heard there that were describing Jesus in this passage? Light. Okay, good. Light. Very good. Very good. Faithful. Good. Gracious. Awesome. Awesome. The beginning. Good. Blessing. Good. Glory. Good. Good. All fantastic words. Yes, ma'am? Always been eternal. Very good. Truth. Good. Yes. Faithful. Good. Good. All of these words. Man, I would love to have that kind of legacy for those words to be said about me. Wouldn't you? Oh, that'd be amazing. Be amazing. Let's look again at verses 12 and 13. Will you do that with me? Verses 12 and 13. But to all who believed and accepted or received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13, they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. All right, guys, so just hone in on these two verses and mainly on verse 12, okay? So along with believing, let's look at verse 12 real quick. Along with believing, what else is required for us to have the gift of salvation? Acceptance or receiving. Acceptance or receiving. Now, please, please don't mishear me. Okay, this is not an either or. It's not believe or accept. It's a both and. Because belief and our belief systems have to do with what we think up here. But receiving begins the transformation that occurs when we work what we believe in our minds out through what we do. It's that acceptance and it's that believing and acceptance that begins the transformation of our lives into Christians. It's that transformation that causes us to hear Scripture differently than we've heard it before. I talked earlier about how everyone is on a scale. They're either really far away from God or really close to God. Now, I believe that every person that's ever been born is somewhere along that scale. Raise your hand with me if you have ever, before you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, before you believed and received, heard Scripture spoken before and didn't really understand what it meant. Yeah, sure. But it's almost like a light bulb is turned on in your mind through the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you believe and when you receive, you begin that transformation, you're able to see Scripture in a completely different light. Now, again, the amazing thing about this gift that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ, is that we receive that gift with no strings attached. Nothing we have to do. Paul wrote about this in the book of Romans when he said, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Now, when you hear the word wage, what do you think? Wage, money, right? Is a wage a gift or is a wage something you have to work for? Yeah, you have to earn, you have to work for it. But is it a gift? Yeah, that's a dumb question. But I know a gift is something that we freely receive. But I want to ask another hypothetical question here. Just think about this. Let's say, because it's Jamie's birthday today, let's say I give Jamie a beautiful birthday gift, and it's wrapped all nice and pretty, which I can't really do. I usually get my wife or somebody else to wrap gifts because I'm not really good at that. But let's say I give that gift, that birthday gift, to Jamie. And she goes home and she sets it in the corner and she looks at it and she says, wow, that was really nice of Jason to give me that gift today. I think I'll just look at the package. She never opens it. Did she ever truly receive the gift? Or did she just admire it? She just admired it. I think a lot of us do that with Jesus today. We read his words and we hear his good teaching, and we kind of admire him from afar. So we've got the belief down pat because it's all up here. Now, receiving that gift, we know that that's going to mean commitment. That's going to change the way that we live our life. So sometimes we like to keep Jesus at an arm's distance. But guys, listen, my encouragement here for you guys today is that let Jesus continue that process in your life. Don't just believe in him, but open yourselves up. Because in opening yourself up to Jesus and receiving that gift, you give him full access to everything you are and everything you've ever done and everything you ever will do. Hey guys, guess what? Raise your hand in here if you've ever done anything in your past that you wish you could go back and change. Oh yeah, definitely. I asked that question in the first service and got a full room of hands too. Guys, listen, when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't get an audit on life. We don't get a quick way out of trials. We don't get a free pass on going through life. But we do get the gift to know that all those things God has seen. He has seen all of our past. He's seen all of our future. But he's forgiven us from that. And he has given us the power to live the rest of our lives through the Holy Spirit so that we never have to regret. The Celebrate Recovery ministry here is absolutely amazing. One of the things I think that the gift of God, when we begin that transformation, even those bad things, those bad choices, those sins, that disobedience we did against God in the past, God even uses that in a spirit of redemption through people who have walked through those hurts, habits, and hangups and are standing at an example for people who are still in them now. You say, look, like I was there. I know what you were going through. Let me show you how Jesus released me from that. All right, so first blank on your page, we've finally gotten there, is that everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. Now, I know your first reaction to that was, what is this guy talking about? He doesn't have a clue. But guys, like I said, we don't get a free pass from this as Christians. I want to read what one of our brothers, James, wrote. James wrote in chapter 1, verse 2 of his letter, is that we're to count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you go through various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance. And let endurance or steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, James didn't say if you go through various trials. He said when you go through various trials. And I didn't ask my wife for permission to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and I'll deal with it when I get home. My wife lost her dad back in July, and this has been a tough season for her, and we've been walking through it together and trying to figure out what God wants for us in the future, and that's tough. I'm a 16-year cancer survivor. So, guys, again, like God uses our past to illuminate the possibilities for people in our future. Everything, guys, everything is a gift when we have the heart to see it that way. I wonder if the scenario in the video would have gone differently if people just had the opportunity to take the blinders off and to take it all in. You know, sometimes I think the greatest enemy of the best is oftentimes the good. We can be running around doing lots of good things in our life, but miss the best thing. I'm guilty of that, man. We are. We're all guilty of that. But guys, when we go through trials, there's one of two things that can happen. Well, I guess there's probably more, but this sounds more like a Hallmark card, so I'll go ahead and share this. Don't laugh at me. It's okay. But listen, you know those people who, when they're going through a trial, they get really bitter about it? And they don't choose to ask anyone for help. They don't reach out to anyone. And it's that kind of reaction that kind of makes them a bitter person. We all know somebody like that in our lives, don't we? Now I'm going to ask a tougher question. I've been that person before. Have you ever been that person before? Yeah, now that's a tougher question, right? You can go ahead. I mean, this is another gift here, God's community. God knows anyway, so when we're able to go through a trial and we're able to seek our brothers and sisters in Christ out, and when we ask him for help, We can get better through that trial. We can use that trial to show other people that God is good and he's on the king and he's on the throne. But so the trials God gives us to either get bitter or get better. I want to share with you guys now. I think a lot of times we get this a little confused. I want to share with you guys 5 G's of the good news. And these are going to fill in the blanks at the bottom of the page. But this is a great way for us to see where we are. Because again, we're somewhere on that spectrum. Either being far from God, separated from God, or close to God. So the first G there in the good news is the word good. We go way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. God created us in his image, and he was pleased with us on the sixth day. Remember what God said after he created humankind? Yeah, it was very good. Everything else that he created, he said was good. But he said, these guys, they are very good. So the first G of the good news is good. But the second G is guilt. Our sin and our guilt separated us from God. God is a holy God, and we are separate from him due to the fact that we have broken his heart by breaking his law through disobedience. Now, God, as a good and righteous king, if he's not a good and righteous king, then he wouldn't carry out any of the judgments that are due to him. But guys, you and I, we have committed treason against the king. And what's the penalty for treason?
Death.
Death. But then the most beautiful, and I love that this is right in the middle, the next G is grace. Amen. The next G is grace. God couldn't stand that separation. The separation that existed between him and you, who he created in his image. He wanted to restore that relationship so much that God gave up the most precious thing that he had in his son Jesus. And through Jesus' sacrifice, God has given us the opportunity to have a real, abundant, lasting life today.
That's right.
And in eternity.
Amen.
Guys, if you think about it, I don't want to blow your mind too much, but when did eternity start? Exactly. So if we're going to have eternal life with Jesus, it doesn't start on the day when we leave this planet. It starts right now. Eternal life is right now. Jesus' main message that he preached when he was on this earth is that the kingdom of God is here among us. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you and I are still here. We're to be about bringing God's kingdom here among us in a more real way. That's the reason that eternal life starts right now. You guys realize that you have the power through the Holy Spirit to do things to radically change the world that we live in. You don't have to live in your past anymore. We have the Spirit living within us now that we can set an example for people, for other people to lift Jesus up.
It's awesome.
But God has given us another gift other than grace. He has given us, fourthly, God's people. God's people. Look around this room. This is the reason that we are here today. God desires that we live in community. You guys remember when I asked that question about eternity and we all got a little confused? Well, guess what? God has always existed in community from eternity past within the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he created us to live in community too, because that's where the most abundant life occurs. That's where you can look to your brother and your sister and say, man, this week has sucked royally, and let me tell you why. And then they can say, okay, I've been through that too. Or this week has been fantastic. Let me tell you how God is working in the life of my coworker, or what God is doing in me. But that's the way that we advance the kingdom of God. You know, I was reading back through the Gospels this week as in preparation for this message, and when Jesus first sent out his followers, he didn't send them out alone, did he? No, he sent them out two by two so they could be accountable, but also so they could have another person there to act as that community for them. That's the way that God works, through a community. The fifth G of God's gospel is gratitude. Gratitude. Guys, we serve and obey God not to make him like us more, but because we're grateful for all that he has done. And this is something that I have to remind myself daily, so I hope I continue to say it every day. But listen, guys, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore. But there's also nothing you can do to make God love you any less than he does right at this moment. Right at this moment. Guys, I want to take some time and read through Ephesians chapter 2 just to hammer home how free this gift of God's grace is. I'm going to start in verse 4. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. See, God doesn't just clean a person up and make a bad person a good person through his work of salvation. Paul says he takes a dead person and brings them to life. You were once dead in your trespasses and sin. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. And all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Paul said, it is only by grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 10. I want to hone in on this verse. Verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. And right here, these two words, God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. In the original language, that word is poema, where we get the word poem from. Believer, you and I are God's poem that he is continually writing through the way you choose to live your life. Before we dismiss, guys, I want to give you guys the encouragement of hearing six things that God says about who you are in Christ Jesus. Number one, you are, believer, a child of God. As many as received him, John said, he gave them the right to become the children of God. You are a friend of Jesus. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, Jesus said in John chapter 15. You are a new creature in Christ. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. You have been made one with each other for all who are in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, but you are all one in Jesus Christ. You guys hear that unity? Paul wrote about that in the book of Galatians. You have been set free in Christ. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, don't go back to that yoke of slavery that you used to live under in Galatians. You are holy, chosen, and blameless before God, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in His sight. Christian, don't let anybody tell you that you're less than who you are. Believe what the God who gave the best that He has tells you who you are. Last blank on our page today. How will you share the gifts that God has given you?